Welcome to the Voice of Florida Architecture. I'm your host, Rhonda Hammond, AIA. On October 30th of 2024, Florida's governor appointed three new architects to the Florida Board of Architecture and Interior Design. Today, we have the privilege of speaking with the first of the new appointees. Please welcome Peter Jones, AIA.
Well, thank you, Rhonda. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Congratulations on your appointment, Peter. Your AIA family around the state are celebrating with you, and we're just so proud to have you as part of our family.
Well, it's an honor and a privilege, I can assure you.
BOAID, as it's known, is primarily responsible for licensing and regulating architects and interior designers. But before we get into the details of the work of the board, let's introduce Peter Jones, AIA, the architect. So Peter, will you share your journey to come to study and practice of architecture?
Well, Rhonda, of course, you know that my time goes back before cuneiform, so I appreciate the opportunity to share a little bit of it. One thing I was thinking about was the fact that I remember clearly sitting at our dining room table in North Palm Beach back in 1967 or thereabouts with my father talking about my going to University of Florida and what I should study. We talked about a number of different things, amongst which was architecture. What I didn't know at the time was that his grandfather, actually, he had a stepfather and his stepfather's father, was an architect in Milwaukee, a highly regarded architect. But I didn't know that. We didn't discuss that. He never told me that. I didn't learn that till many years later, which is kind of funny. My father was an engineer, a mechanical engineer from Purdue University. And he said, well, you don't want to be an engineer. You should. How about architecture? Because I enjoyed building things. And apparently I was pretty good in math and of course, creative. And so long story short, that was my beginning. I was very fortunate that the following summer, I got to go to work with Schwab and Twitty Architects. And that became my parallel education for the many, many years to follow. And Ron Schwab, one of the principals of Schwab and Twitty, became a very dear friend and mentor. That encouraged me in my concern and wanting and believing in the importance of mentorship because of how that was for me. Later, I did learn about my great-grandfather, actually, his architecture practice. His younger brother gave me a compass set that was used in their office. So I have this antique compass set,
oh, wow,
which comes from Kirchhoff and Rose, the architecture firm in Milwaukee. In fact, they did a bank building, which is now the historical museum in Milwaukee, which is really kind of cool. So I have a little bit of history in all of that. And then, of course, graduated from University of Florida and then went on to Rice University for my graduate program in architecture. And that was a phenomenal journey as well. I'm very blessed. It began at the dining room table and it stuck.
AIA Treasure Coast is your home component. Through my research, you have a distinguished career in service to AIA Florida, joining the board of directors in 2005. And on the state board, you've served as vice president, secretary treasurer, president-elect. And then, of course, in 2012, you were elected as AIA Florida president. So tell us what it was like being on the board back in 2012.
Well, it was phenomenal because of, and I won't be able to name all of the names, but, you know, I just remember some great, many of the greats that you all know, Mike Rodriguez and John Erig and Mickey Jacob, of course, and Bill Bishop and so many. And I felt like such a prepubescent pup amongst all of these great leaders. And it was fun to be a part of the workings of the state chapter and learned a lot. Just felt very honored and privileged to be a part of it, I guess is one way to put it. Don Yoshino was one of the great members that he was in his beginnings of the board as well. And so it was really a lot of fun to watch Don grow, and I felt like in some ways I got to grow with him.
So there are two special achievements I'd like you to share with us about. It's my understanding that during your presidency, you implemented the People's Choice Award that we still celebrate today. This year's theme is Community Icons, which the voting starts real soon. So tell us about the impetus that started this competition.
Well, I think it was born out of the Florida Foundation for Architecture, I believe. One of course, the charges of the foundation was to bring the world of architecture to the general public and help in any way possible, many ways possible, for the general public to get to know what architecture is about and what we do as a profession and how we contribute to the built environment, but do so much more than just that. And this was a fun way to engage the general public, coming up with a theme for a particular building to sort of narrow it down just a little bit, give it some focus, and then put it out there for the general public to vote on what their favorite building was. And as I recall, we got votes from all over the world, thousands, and so it was just a I thought just a really great fun way to engage the public, and the response was really fabulous, and it seems to have done well over the years, which I'm very pleased to see.
You were president in 2012, which just happened to be AIA Florida's 100th anniversary. And you launched another competition, Top 100 Buildings, with our then EVP, Vicky Long. From all appearances, it was an incredible event that engaged the entire state and accumulated over 2.4 million votes. I'm not sure if you were aware, but there's this beautiful video that Becky shared with me. So tell us about the Top 100 Buildings competition.
Well, that was really, I think Don was the chair of our celebration, as I recall, and that was really born out of a lot of folks. That wasn't, I mean, it was something that was a great opportunity to take that same concept of celebrating great architecture in Florida. 100 buildings made good sense because it was our 100th anniversary. And then also kind of dividing it up into categories of different types of buildings also helped give some noteworthiness to great buildings that maybe one didn't get to be the top building, but it was the top building in its category. I think Don and I both got letters from Donald Trump at the time because Mar-a-Lago was one of the buildings submitted as a historical building. What was really cool was that a really great thing was that the Fontainebleau was one of the buildings that was up for vote. And what the Fontainebleau did was they printed out cards to vote and put them in all of their hotel rooms to encourage their patron, the folks staying at the hotel, to vote for Fontainebleau. And they ended up winning.
What a great marketing strategy.
It was such a hoot. And so the fun thing for me was that I got to go to the Fontainebleau and we presented them with the award. For me, it was a very special time in my life, I must say.
It was an engaging, the video I was sharing with you, there were news reports from around the state that was talking about the competition and encouraged
Yes.
people in the community to vote. So it very much engaged the entire community around the state. So I'd like to share with our listeners that in 2019, Peter was awarded the Hilliard T. Smith Community Service Award Silver Medal, honors an architect whose leadership in community activities and service has been a direct benefit to the profession or the community. The individual's leadership and service must demonstrate beyond any reasonable doubt qualities, outcomes, and works of art, programs, or civic influences that have benefited the profession or the community. So, Peter, tell us what it was like to be awarded the silver medal.
It was very, very special, incredibly an honor.
Your professional career has taken you through several renditions, currently principals of PWJ Architecture, LLC, and recently the director of architecture and design at Atlantic Fields Club. But I've noticed that you also held position as city planner, city architect, and county's facilities architect. AIA Florida has consistently lauded the need for architects to hold public positions and elected offices. The immediate past president of National even launched an initiative to promote the position of city architect. With your perspective of serving both in private and public positions, talk about the influence or impact an architect can have in the roles.
That's a great question, and I've always believed that architects can have an incredibly important role in public affairs and community in their communities at many different levels. And I'd like to believe that in my tenure over these years as an architect, I've seen more and more engagement of our professionals in the public sector in different ways. And maybe that's just because we've gotten a little more sophisticated about it. Perhaps it's because we've become better aware of the importance of our involvement if we want to encourage a better built environment that we live in. I appreciate the concerns of making us a little more prepared for, we'll call it, the changes in climate. I want to recognize that going back to Roman times with Vitruvius, who wrote the 10 books of architecture, I think it was, he even understood the importance of building to the area that you live in. Be aware of your surrounding. Get construction materials from nearby where you are. Even he knew that, and that was a couple of thousand years ago. And so here we are. I think sometimes we rediscover that every 10 years or so, but and we put it in a different way. But those are important things. So my back to the question about our involvement in the public sector, we can make a difference, and we need to believe in that. And that can be anything from, I was county architect, not city architect, but with St. Lucie County. I began as the business navigator with the county, which my job was to help businesses that were moving into the county and developing industry and jobs to help them get through the morass of approvals that one has to go through when you're building buildings and manufacturing buildings and so on. So as an architect, I did that for my clients all day long. And so it was smart for the county, and it was smart to have an architect in that position.
So, Peter, you're aware that in the last two AIA Florida conventions, Beverly Frank, AIA, and myself in our conventions with in conversations with the deans of the schools of architecture around the state, discuss the alleged gap between architectural education and the workplace. You also have a unique perspective in that you've taught both at the high school level and as an adjunct professor. Share your experience with us first at the high school level. What did you teach there?
That was a lot of fun. That was 3 wonderful years. Back in 1989 or 1998, it was Indian River Charter High School began. It received its charter from the state. I was on that board that helped start the school. Several years later, my daughter, McKenna, went to Indian River Charter High School, and she was in my class that I taught as well, which was a blast. The course that I taught was kind of like a life skills course. It had to do with what you wanted to do when you went out and got your vocation, and what you wanted to be when you grew up, if you will, where you wanted to live. And then we learned about the built environment, because where you wanted to live and how you wanted to live was in a very, very important aspect of your life. And to appreciate the built environment that you live in and know the good from the bad. And so as an architect, I was in a good position to teach those things. And so we learned about the built environment. We learned about architectural history. We learned about when a builder tells you a lot of hullabaloo about what's good and what's not good, you'll know the difference. And so the kids had a blast, and we had a really fun graphic program where they could design in their own house in 3D. And you would have loved some of the comments that I would hear, like, "Mr. Jones, come check out my garage. I can put a helicopter in it." It
There
was
you
a
go.
blast. Great kids, great opportunity. And at that age, it was perfect. And well, when I was president, that was the 2012, the year that I was president. Just before that, when Michael Lingerfeld, God rest his soul, was still with us, he was visiting the different chapters, visited Treasure Coast, came to the Charter High School and spoke. I set up a program for the school, and he spoke, gave a presentation about, Disney Imagineering and all the stuff that he was doing. It was fabulous. He did such a great job. It was really a lot of fun. Long answer, but it was a great time.
Did your daughter McKenna become an architect?
No, but she is even more creative than I am, I'm sure. So, no, she's very, very creative, like her mother. She actually it wants to build furniture and refurbish furniture. And,
So, what is your opinion regarding the perceived gap between academia and the professional workplace?
I was thinking about that last night. I don't know about you, but it seems like we have more members from academia participating in AI Florida than we had in years past. And I hope that that's going to help bridge some of the gap between the, just the machinations of the real world out there, if there is such a thing as the real world, and the world of academia, so that both sides can understand what each is trying to do and maybe help balance that a little bit, maybe help nurture that a little bit. One of the interesting things was there was a presentation by members of NCARB at our last BOAD meeting about some of the things that NCARB is doing with regard to testing and teaching and so on. And it sounds like they're trying to broaden the field or open up the profession to more avenues to be creative and in an architectural world. And maybe that might help academia a little bit too in that cause.
So you were also appointed to the Florida Building Code Administrators and Inspectors Board. What is the purpose of this board?
The Building Code Administrators Board is kind of like what it sounds like. It is the caretaker for licensure of your building officials, your plans examiners, the folks that go out and inspect the construction for the whatever entity is responsible. We're responsible for continuing education, for licensure and testing, for making sure that the inspectors and the building officials don't behave badly. A lot. It's in some ways similar to the Board of Architecture and Interior Design in the same cause and licensure matters. I met some lovely people on that board, spent about 8 years, it seems like, until it was time for me to. I got a very nice, kind phone call from the governor's appointments office telling me, well, Peter, it's time to go now. So, but I was very blessed to be the chair one year before I rolled off. But good people, very important board, obviously. The review of plans and the review of construction by our various building departments is very important, obviously.
As I mentioned in the beginning of our episode, you are one of the newly appointed architectural members of the Florida Board of Architecture and Interior Design. What an honor. Congratulations again.
Well, thank you. I'm very honored and humbled.
So you're one of the five architects, three of you newly appointed, one gentleman appointed last year, I believe, and then the chair. So, Peter, what would you like to share about being appointed and serving on this board?
Well, I think for me, it's apart from I know I've already said that. I mean, it is an honor because I'm with some very incredibly great people on that board currently. Some of the new members that I feel like I'm colleagues with, and to follow some of the great people that have come before me. And I think of John Eric and Mike Rodriguez, for example. And I guess my hope is to contribute to the well-being of the profession and the board, of course, but to the profession, to do what's right, to do no harm, and find ways to encourage the nurturing of our profession as well as the safekeeping of our profession.
Thank you, Peter, for your dedication and service to the profession and to AIA Florida and for sharing with us today.
Rhonda, thank you for inviting me on this podcast, and I'm very honored and humbled to be to have been to be of service, to continue to be of service.
I hope our listeners have enjoyed the conversation with Peter Jones, AIA, your newly appointed member of the Florida Board of Architecture and Interior Design. Thank you for listening to The Voice of Florida Architecture, the podcast for AIA Florida. You can find us wherever you stream your podcast. I'm your host, Rhonda Hammond, AIA.